This is Talking Business.
I'm joined now by Mike Adams, who has a consultancy business called Growth in Focus, and he's got a book out called Seven Stories Every Salesperson Must Tell. G'day, Mike.
G'day.
So seven stories. So I take it from this that salespeople need to tell a story.
Yes, salespeople need stories. To tell seven stories through their buying process. The stories that I get them to tell have a different character type in it, depending on where they are in a buying process. And, well, all business people should be telling stories because that's how our human minds like to receive information.
Right. So when you say seven stories, you mean that they should tell all of the stories, or these are the stories that
are stories by type that salespeople should know about, and the types of stories follow a buying process. I use a fishing analogy. You might notice the drawing by my wife on the front cover of a fishing lure, hook.
She's a nice drawer.
She's an artist, yes.
It's a nice picture of a fishing hook. It's a lure.
That's right. So you can think of the story as the lure.
Right.
And the phases of a buying cycle, which is also the selling process.
So what are the story types?
So the story types are connecting stories such as your personal story. Why do you do what you do and how are you an authority? Your company story. Can you tell about how your company came to exist and why it didn't fail? Because most companies do fail. What I call key staff stories, stories about important people in your organization. Could be the CEO if it's a small business, or it might be your head of customer service or your head of implementation. Those are the hook or the connecting stories.
Right.
And then the differentiating stories for getting your message across and helping your future client change direction, because selling is all about change. It's about changing the way they're going to some way that hopefully includes what you're selling. Those are insight stories, which are stories that teach your future client about something that they need to know about their market or their business that they don't quite appreciate. And we need to teach that in a story, because if we just tell them you don't know this, then they're a bit unlikely to appreciate that we know anything about it. So that's a teaching story. And then success stories, where the character of the story is your successful client that's like this person that you're talking with, so that they can kind of live that experience. How did they succeed with your products and services? Quite different from a case study.
That's five, I think.
That's five. Yes, that's five. And then two stories to help close the deal, particularly complex deals where the client's organization goes into a decision-making kind of stakeholder group to decide, are they going to spend money on your company or your competitor or someone else? And the two stories that help there are values stories. That's a story normally about a leader in your organization that demonstrates what it's going to be like to deal with your company after you've signed the deal. And the sales manager's story, which is teaching your client in that, or your sponsor in that meeting, how to sell the idea within that stakeholder group, so how to sell. And those are the seven stories. And the hero or the central character of each of those seven stories is yourself, the personal story, your key staff, your CEO maybe, your company itself, the researcher that discovered insight, the successful client that succeeded with your products and services, a leader that demonstrates your values, and a sales manager that teaches you how to sell so that you can help sell in that stakeholder meeting at the end of the process.
So what if your personal story is boring?
No, I haven't come across one yet, and I've done an awful lot of personal stories with people. Everyone has an interesting story. We tend to think our story is not that interesting, but if you tell it as a narrative, and it's probably important for me to jump in and say, like, there's a special definition for a story. It has to be a sequence of related events. It can't be facts.
Not everyone's a storyteller, though. I mean, it's like, yeah, sure, everyone's got a story to tell, but sometimes, you know, maybe the person at the other end just wants to get on with doing a deal and doesn't want to hear you rabbit on about yourself.
Yeah, I would say we all are storytellers in social situations, but we may not feel confident to tell stories in a business context. And I would also say, yeah, it's true that busy businessmen may not want to hear a story.
Because you might be sitting across the other side of the table and the person's impatient.
Yes.
You know, come on, what do you got?
If you start your story the right way and if you make a relevant business point, even the busiest exec will listen to that story. So it requires some coaching and some training to know how to do that. If I start once upon a time, you know I'm about to tell a fairy tale. If I start in 1996 when I transferred to Norway and my wife was 8 months pregnant, you know I'm about to tell a true story, and you stop and listen because you'd like to know what happens next. And we're all the same. We're all like that. Even the busiest exec is like that.
Right.
But the story has to be tight. You have to practice it to get it under a couple of minutes, and it has to make a business point.
So you make a living out of telling or teaching people how to tell stories.
I do. And the very best leaders and salespeople are storytellers, and they recognize that. And they're a bit frustrated that their sales teams can't sell. And one of the reasons is they have all the good stories, but their salespeople don't know those stories and haven't practiced them. So that's what I do. I help them find those good stories. And every company has brilliant stories.
And do you teach and help the CEOs to tell their staff their stories?
Absolutely.
So then the staff can go off.
Generally, we start with a bit of research. I help them construct their company story, and then we get them all together. We teach them storytelling, what it is, and we practice. And then afterwards, we start building up a story library.
Can the story be a lie?
No. Stories should be true. There are stories, obviously, there are famous stories in our cultural history that are myths or parables, and they may not have been based on fact, but we accept them because of who told them. That's prophets and famous heroes and generals and presidents. But we don't accept those stories from salespeople. Salespeople don't rank there, unfortunately, Alan. So salespeople must tell true stories, or we really risk shooting our credibility.
So would you go as far as to say that someone who can't tell a story can't sell?
I would go just about that far. It's very difficult to be successful at sales if you can't. But I think everyone has it in them. They can all learn it. It might take a little bit more effort.
And so what's your own background? What qualifies you to
I started from a place where I should not have ended up as a salesperson. I trained as an electrical and mechanical engineer in Tasmania. And I got the dream job out of university. I was working on oil rigs for a company called Schlumberger, running electronic surveys in oil wells. I did that for 6 years all over the world. And then I got into the software that we were selling to oil and gas companies. And I was the expert in that software. And my boss called me in and said, Mike, we have this dream, this new job for you, career opportunity, I think it was positioned. And if you've been in big corporates, you know that means job no one else wants. And it was to go to Norway and become a salesperson. And that's how I got into it, 1996.
And your wife was 8 months pregnant.
She was 8 months pregnant, yes. She's more adventurous than I am. So we have three boys, and their second boy was born in Norway. He's the blonde-haired one. So, yeah, and look, I had the most amazing good fortune in my first year. I was really lucky. I connected with the right kind of person in an oil company, and he, on my behalf, sold the biggest deal in our company worldwide from Stavanger in Norway, and that was what made me think I could be good at it, and I've stayed in it ever since.
Well, so you basically learned how to sell on the job, did you?
I sure did. Yeah, I did. I certainly learned about storytelling on the job pretty much by accident, by noticing what stories. I actually started noticing that certain stories I heard my clients telling back to me, and I thought, ooh, that's interesting, because they're telling each other these stories, and there you're doing work, the story's doing work for you in the background, which is an incredible thing.
So how did you become a consultant on
selling? Yeah, I changed corporations. I changed companies 5 times, mainly because I wanted to be in a different country, or I didn't want to be where I was at the time. And in doing that...
What's wrong with Norway?
Well, Norway was good. We moved, but Schlumberger move you all the time. And we moved to Russia. So I lived for 2 years in Russia with our three boys. And my dad got sick, and it was time to come back. And we decided to live in Melbourne. I didn't have any business contacts at all in Melbourne. And I told a pretty good story and got a job to move into telecommunications, selling telecommunications network equipment for Siemens. And then I did that sort of career move to a completely new industry 4 more times. And that was when I was starting to think, okay, these are the stories I need to have to tell. And I realized that the companies I was joining as a new salesperson didn't have those stories. So I had to collect them. That was when I realized that I could help companies to do that. And that's what I do now as a consultant.
And so you're saying that these stories, the way that the storytelling method of selling basically applies to any sales.
It applies to
task.
Any business. I've worked in a very wide range of industries. It applies to any industry, any situation where you need to solve the three sales problems, and that's to connect as an authority with a potential buyer, to change their mind, and get them to close the deal. If you need to solve those three problems, stories are the best way to do it.
And so you told me, you know, in a couple of minutes what the seven stories were.
I did briefly. Would you like to hear one in more detail? We have time.
No, we haven't got time, but I just want to know what else is in the book. I mean, the book's
a framework.
237 pages long.
There's 50 stories in there and examples, and it just takes you through how exactly to do it. I'm an engineer, so engineers like to know how to do it and how to practically apply it.
Yeah. You've told me your story anyway.
Yeah, I've given you
the
evidence.
Process of selling yourself.
I have. Yeah, well, I hope people enjoy it. It's going well. The book's selling really well. And salespeople, you know, they like to get an edge. They want to get an edge. And if they appreciate
Selling's hard.
It's very difficult. And I was so lucky. If I hadn't had that good fortune at the beginning of my career, I think I'd be back being an engineer because it's very hard.
Great to talk to you, Mike. Thanks.
Oh, Alan, thanks. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
I'll be talking to Mike Adams, who is the founder of Growth in Focus and author of Seven Stories Every Salesperson Must Tell.